Yes.
Amen.
Well, let me say that for the recording. The best two times to pray is when you feel like it and when you don't.
Yes.
The best two times to praise the Lord is when you feel like it and when you don't. See, because a lot of times we're not up to praying. Our situation and circumstances has overwhelmed us to the point to where we done got kind of war. They done wore us down. Sometimes the Bible says in the last days, it says that the enemy will wear out the saints of God, sending everything at them, including the kitchen sink. And over in the book of Daniel, I think it's 8th chapter, 12th verse, it says, and the enemy shall wear out the saints of God. And see, so a lot of us are tired. You know how sometimes we walk around, we just feel tired because we're constantly fighting these battles. Anybody fight, do get tired. So if you ever wonder why you're tired sometime, you are in a battle. The enemy is trying to take your joy, and you fighting for your joy. The enemy is trying to take your peace. You fighting for your peace. The enemy is trying to hijack your mind and your thinking. And you fighting so that you can have a sound mind. And that's why God says, for I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And so we're going to talk tonight a little bit about encouragement, because we're going to need encouragement in these times that we're living in, and we still want to finish up with crying out to God. And I just want to start off, as I conclude that, by saying that in our generations that we're living in now, on our watch, we need to be crying out to God. We need to be crying out to God. I mean, seriously, crying out to God. I'm saying tears. Like I said, when I come on that prayer line, you can't see me, but it's not one time that tears don't come in my eyes. Because I take my relationship with God very serious. And it says, crying out to God, we need to cry out to God to protect our children. You need to cry out to God over your children. You need to, for their protection. Because we're living in a time, and we're witnessing it, and we're seeing it, that we need to make sure that we have assurance, spiritual assurance on our children. And we need to pray for our families, and we need to, more importantly, pray for our nation. These United States of America need prayer. We need prayer, and I won't get into that just right off the top right now, but I will get into it a little later. But I can say our country, our nation needs prayer, needs us to cry out. Remember, listen, we are instructed in the Word of God on who to pray for. Matter of fact, let's just make that be our scripture here. Let's start off with that scripture. Let us turn to 1 Timothy. Let us turn to 1 Timothy, the second chapter, I do believe. 1 Timothy. Let's go there. We'll start off with that scripture. And once again, if you're there, say amen. We're going to wait on you.
What book? I mean, what chapter?
1 Timothy, 2nd chapter.
Oh,
1
okay.
Timothy, 2nd chapter.
Got it. Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome, Sister Pat. Amen. And let's just start at the first verse. The scripture says, I exhort, therefore, this is Paul's letter to Timothy, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So while we're making our prayer, God is instructing us that we need to, our prayers and interceding need to be made for all men. And then verse 2, it says, for kings. And you know, we don't have a king in America. We got a president. For kings and for all that are in authority. In other words, the people that are leading and making decisions, state, local, and federal, that impact our daily, our earthly lives, we need to pray for these people. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the leaders, because we are instructed to do so as believers. If we don't pray for these people, they're not going to get prayed for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, just that part right there. If you are praying, God, he honors your prayer life. He honors you. He said, for this is good in the sight. Now, can you imagine when God see us, sons and daughters, that we are constantly praying and that we're constantly reaching out to him? And in the scriptures say, he inhabited the praises of his people. And we just read, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And so that's the instructions that we have as believer, that we have to amplify our prayer life. Amen, saints. And I'm going to pause here just for a minute and get some feedback or solicit some feedback. Is everybody in prayer life, everybody's prayer life is acceptable? You think that you are doing the will of God in your prayer life? Can you use a little bit more of time, you feel? I mean, how do you feel? How does everybody feel about your prayer life?
Well,
I'm just saying, this is not to put anybody on the spot. We are believers. We're trying to grow, and we're trying to learn about God. We're trying to get close to God through his word. And so the best way to get close to God is through his word, and to know what he desires of us and expect of us, because it's in his word. You know, if God says that this pleases him when he see us praying, then we ought to be praying all the time. We all know.
I pray all the time.
I'm talking to myself for praying. So because I know that my blessings happen out of me talking to myself, I realize that I'm praying. So I pray all the time because I always be talking to myself. So I'm praying.
Amen.
You're not talking to yourself. You're talking to God. Maybe I should have said that. Somebody else may mistake me for talking to myself, but let me be talking to myself. I bust out in a prayer in a minute.
Amen.
Might think it's not funny, but Lord Jesus, please protect me right now, because I know who I used to be and I know how I could be, but I know by me praying, I am who I used to be.
Yeah.
So something's happening good for me.
Amen.
I'm going to keep on talking to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Ain't nothing like praying at the intersection.
Amen.
Everybody looking over there, you just offer to a prayer. You just bust out into a praise or a prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. You on the road. Hallelujah. You need God in that car with you.
Amen.
You need God in that car with you. You should have never got on the road without God getting in the car.
Amen.
So you save, so keep him in the car.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, keep him in the car.
Yeah.
And you know, saints, you know, from my personal opinion, I don't think we can pray to God enough. Like some people have schedules where they pray morning, midday, and night. But to me, that's still not enough. So I know that I could pray more.
Amen.
I really could. I pray a lot. but I could pray more for all that God has done for me in my life and the life of my friends and the life of my family, even in the life of my enemies.
Amen.
And protecting me from those people. I think that I could, I know that I could pray a whole lot more.
And the thing of it is about God. Go ahead.
I agree with that. I know I need to pray more. I find myself, you know, one of my friends told me that I need to be slow to anger. And I was telling you about the hospital thing. And then I thought about it all day today. And then I thought about everything that everybody said to me yesterday. And I said, you know what? That was just confirmation. I need to be slow to anger. I need to stand back and really stand and just look at them and say a prayer. That's what I need to start doing instead of getting mad.
Amen.
And when you do that, when you pray about situations like that, they don't seem to irritate you as much. At least that's what I found. Mm-hmm. Like when you pray about it, the things just flow, go out the window and they don't worry you as much as if you were to react to things. So, yeah, we have to be careful or slow in our reactions. Just take everything to the Lord and pray.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you also don't have to just pray when you're going through angry things. Like I noticed that I pray all the time, and I'm getting so bold with my prayers that if I have a cashier or if I'm in a store and me and someone smile at each other, I may talk to them and we have a conversation and I'll ask them, can I pray with them? So I pray all the time. Like I pray for accidents that I see on the street. I pray when I'm riding past somebody and they look sad. I'm always praying.
See, the beauty of that is, and the luxury that we have as believers, you know, we can pray silent prayers. You can pray. Yeah. You can pray from your heart. You know, God honors silent prayers because he knows the heart. See, because he talks about that everybody that prays, everybody that say, Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? So God looks at the position of your heart. You're praying with your heart. See, if God, remember I said this before, if God have your heart, he got you. But see, he doesn't have everyone's heart. God does not have our complete undivided attention yet. We're working on that. We're working progress to give God our undivided attention 24/7. So, you know, sometimes we pray silently, but God knows the position of our hearts when we pray silently. See, we're talking about this. We're going somewhere. See, you know, this is a prelude to where we're going tonight.
All right.
You know, this is a prelude. We're going to a big place tonight. Amen. Through the word of God. We're going to go on a spiritual journey, but we're starting right here. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So we just thank God for who he is. And we're talking about prayer because there's a specific reason that we need to be highlighting and amplifying our prayer life. Once you realize that it pleases God, you now that you know that praying pleases God, how much more should we be praying more and more and more and more? Now, you know, every time you connect with him and you communicate with him, the more you communicate, the closer you get and the stronger the relationship and the bond is between you and God.
And then some of the issue is like not time management, but in our lives we have so much to do. We are just a busy people in general. There's always something to do, always. And I think that in that business, sometimes we're so busy doing this and that we forget to pray or don't think about praying. But Pastor, you said something about God knows your heart. I'm telling you, he knows your mind too, because I had an experience last week where I would just think, and not just last week, but last week it was revealed to me. Like I could be thinking about something, and it's a desire, but I don't even formulate a prayer. I just be thinking to myself, and then I see it happening, and so I'm trying to train myself now, just to get control of my thoughts. Because your thoughts can be very dangerous because your thoughts can turn into actions. And, you know, sometimes we can want things just out of the natural that maybe God doesn't want for us. But because he loves us so much and he promised that he would give us the desires of our heart, that he will grant those things to you. And only to find out down the road that, yeah, that's what you thought you wanted, but God has something better for you. But you, he just gave you what you wanted because you are his child and he knew that you wanted it. So it's about praying. It's about controlling your thoughts. It's about all of that. But again, I know that for me, I need to be more intentional about praying more.
Amen.
And controlling, and,
amen.
And controlling the things that I think about in this mind that God gave me. So.
Amen. Amen. And you know, and really and truly where we're going is that this is prayer season. This is prayer time. You know, given the condition of the world that we're living in now, we need to pray now more than ever before. You know, we need to stay on our knees. We need to stay on our knees. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We need to stay in communication with God. And I just want to say, how you going to get to know somebody if you don't communicate with them?
Communicate. Amen.
You know,
amen.
How you going to get to know somebody if you don't communicate with them? And all the people we know in our lives, beside our family, we got to know them through communication. Something was said. And so, but you get to know him better the more you communicate. And it's the same thing with God. The more you communicate with him, the more acquainted you become. And so, and this is pleasing. It pleases God to see us have a desire in our heart to be close to him, you know?
Yes.
Just be close, just to be dear. He said, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. You can only draw nigh to God through prayer. Are you drawing nigh to God? Or is there a distance between you and God? Because prayer will close the gap between you and God to where there be no distance in constant prayer. The scripture says that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth all the day long. See, you got to understand, thanks to God, we are here. This is our time. This is our generation. We have read and studied about the generations of old. But right now, what are we doing on our watch? What are we doing in our time? This is our time. This is our time of spirituality to the world, you know? And what are we doing on our watch? This is our watch. This is our time. The scripture says one generation shall praise thy works to another. And we're our generation need prayer more than any other generation. We need it. And with that being said, we're going to get into the lesson. We're going to keep moving here. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke, the 22nd chapter, 21st chapter of the book of Luke. I tell you what, go there second. Let's turn to Matthew's, let's turn to Matthew's 24. Let's turn to Matthew's 24, and then we'll go right over to Luke 21. Matthew's 24. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we just having Bible study here tonight, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to hear from the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew's 24, if you dare say amen, and I'm trying to get there myself.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to wait for you, Pastor. We're going to wait for you.
Y'all going to wait on the pastor?
Yeah.
And I promise not to keep you waiting too much longer. Hallelujah. I'm multitasking. Okay, Matthew's the 24th chapter. And let us go to verse 8. No, verse 7.
Okay.
Verse 7. It says, for nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be famine in the land. And famine means you got people that don't have the proper food. Food insecurities. there should be famine in the land and pestilence. Pestilence is COVID-19. That's a pestilence. That's a plague. That's a sickness. It's a disease. Pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. I mean, earthquake might show up anywhere. Instead of just looking for them in California on the West Coast, be on the East Coast, and all these things going to happen. Now watch this. Verse 8 says this. For all these are the beginning of sorrow. I heard someone said on the prayer line the other day, people are always saying this. Don't it seem like people are leaving this earth at an alarming rate?
Mm-hmm.
Don't it seem like people are just, every time you turn around, there's a homegoing service.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's been the last 3-4 years, if you're conscious, well, 2.5 years. It just seemed like there have been a wave of death.
Mm-hmm.
And what brings sorrow? Death brings sorrow. And so the scripture says, for these things is the beginning of sorrow. In other words, that even solidifies and validates why we need to even pray more. Because we're living in the time of sorrow. Everywhere you go, even on the prayer line, we're constantly praying for bereaved families. Constantly praying for bereaved families. And it just seems like all around us, people are exiting the earth. They're exiting the earth at an alarming rate. And we have to be conscious of that all of this is controlled by God. God is in control. And so I just want you to be mindful. Is that death brings about sorrow. And we know that wave of COVID, they had a count telling you how many people were passing away each and every day or every 2 days or 3 days. And so that was to just give you an idea of the sorrow that was filling the earth and continue to fill the earth. As we speak right now, there's a family out there that need the prayers of comfort right now. It's in nations against nation means race against race, not the United States or China, mean race against race. And we know that racists, they killed each other. We see the shootings at the school, the mass shooting. We're seeing so much. And so that's why God is giving us an unction in our spirit to have a hunger for prayer, because only prayer can protect us. Only prayer can provide a place of refuge for us. When we pray, we feel secured, and that's why it's important to pray. Now turn back over to Luke 21. Let's go back to Luke 21. We got to pray, and we started off last Wednesday crying out to God. It's time to cry out to God. It's time to know why you're crying out to God, too, not just crying out and don't have a purpose and you're not purpose-driven. If you're there, say amen. Luke 21.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start at verse 34. It says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, as so that day come upon you at unawares. But as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 6. Is the opposite. Verse 36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always. When should we pray?
Always.
Watch ye therefore, pray always. Watch this now. Watch this. pray always. I mean, you ought to always be praying. If you got some time, if you need to be praying during your time. That, you know, if you got some spare time, you shouldn't have no spare time because you should be praying. It says, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come upon the earth. It says to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, that you may be counted worthy to escape
all these things
that shall come to pass. You got to get a lot going on. We pray ourselves up so we can escape these things because they're all around us, but it would not come nigh thee because you're prayed up. That's your place of refuge. Prayer is your place of refuge. Prayer will put you in a secure place. Hallelujah. And that's why last Wednesday we got on this. I didn't know where God was leading me. Now I know that he was leading us, that we got to cry out to him. We got to pray like we never prayed before because things are happening all around us. Just think about all those people, you know, in the city, in D.C., they're in their house and bullets are flying through their windows and shooting, killing people.
Young people.
Young people. So we need to know there's no safe place. Your safe place is in Christ.
Under the shadow of King.
Under the shadow of the Almighty. You can only get under the shadow of the Almighty through prayer. So watch ye therefore and pray that ye may be able to escape. Because the things are coming on the earth. Things are unfolding right before our eyes. We're seeing it. We're witnessing it. We're experiencing it. And this Bible study is not to make anyone fearful. It's just to make you aware. Because people have questions. And we are the believers that's supposed to have the answers through the Word of God. Because the Word of God will come to pass. It's got to come to pass. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. He says, my word will never return back to me void. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. God's word will be forever stand. His word is what brought Jesus to the earth. He said that I will send a Savior to save all of mankind. And guess what? He sent that Savior. That was his word. That's written in his word. The coming of Jesus is written in his word. He said, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and he shall be called the Son of God. He's coming. He came, and the scripture said that he was going to be crucified. He could die and be sacrificed for our sin. And he came. He was sacrificed for our sin. And the scripture said that he will be crucified, but he will be raised on the third day. He got up out the grave as the scriptures had quoted, and the scriptures say he's coming back again. And if he was born, he died, he was raised, and he's coming back again. And so I'm just saying, he's coming back for those that are ready. You know, so as Christians and believers, we need to spend our time, every spare moment of our time need to be devoted to God in prayer so that we can be counted worthy to escape all these things that's going to come upon all the earth. And it's only through prayer. So we are instructed to watch and pray. Watch and pray. So you say, well, Pastor, what are we watching? Well, we're watching the Word of God come to pass. And we're watching the Word of God come to pass right before our eyes. The world cannot continue on the course that it is on. We're on a collision course. And Jesus has to soon return because he's the only one that can derail the course that this world is on. It's just men don't even have no fear of God anymore. Man has lost his fear for God and his reverence for God. And I am here to tell you this evening, God will not allow man to continue to ignore him. He'll do it takes. He'll go to the greatest length to capture man's attention. And one way God knows he can capture man's attention is through death and through fear. God, you ever heard the fear of God? You ever heard the fear when the fear of God come upon you? You're going to fall to your knees. But see, this is not for us as believers. This is for the, God is trying to get the attention of the wicked and the unrighteous man, not the righteous. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. See, we are covered, but we need to stay, make sure we stay covered and secured. Amen. Through prayer. Because I am telling you, it is going down, and we continue need to encourage ourselves every day. I heard Sister LaToya saying earlier, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You know, sometime when you are facing difficult times in your life, or you feel you're going through a challenge or a hard time, no matter what it looks like, you're going through it. You feel like that. You got to come out of that funk. You can't stay in a place that is unfruitful spiritually. You got to get out of that place. If you find yourself in the wrong space, get out of that space and get into another space that's going to bring you calmness and peace and love and joy. You got to get out of there. We're going back a little bit. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. Let's go back over to 1 Samuel. We got to make a sharp left. And you got to go a few miles. 1 Samuel. Sharp left, and you go a few miles, your location will be on the right.
What street are we going to?
Chapter 30th verse. 1 Samuel, 30th chapter.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Are we getting there?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So let me give you a little background. King David, we all know King David. God said that David was a man after his own heart. David went through a lot. He went through a lot of turmoil. This brother went through a lot in his life. I mean, so much pain, so much hurt, so much turmoil David did as a king, as a young king. He started off, had to fight Goliath. So he had a life of fighting and holding up the banner of God all the years of his life as a youth, was donated to God. We remember when David slew Goliath, that giant brought him down, slayed him. And so David went through a lot. But over in the 30th, 1 Samuel 30th chapter, and the 6th verse, when David back was against the wall, and this is what David realized that he had to do. Let's look at the 6th verse. And David was greatly distressed. Anybody ever been greatly in distress or felt like the world falling on you? Now, this is David. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Do you all see that? Do y'all Bible say encourage? Do y'all have a VIV or the NIV? Or you all have to, y'all seeing it out of the KJV? Amen. Is everybody got that scripture documented? Because you might need to go back when you seem like the ceiling is falling in, closing in on you, and there ain't no way out of your situation. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Is everybody there, first of all? Did everybody turn to that scripture?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
The reason I ask, because I ain't getting a lot of amen. Amen. And see, I want to show it to you. I don't want you to hear me say it. I want you to read it and see it yourself. And the scripture says that David's back was up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But even in spite of that, he found a way to encourage himself in the Lord. How do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? I am going to attempt to look at David's life and come to a conclusion on how he encouraged himself in the Lord when he was facing being stoned to death, when he was facing a whole nation of people turning against him. I can only look at David and said he went back and he pulled his testimony out of when he was facing the giant Goliath and he slew that giant when the odds was against him. That giant was almost 9 feet tall. David was just a little shepherd boy. Didn't have not one muscle, but he had courage, and he had the anointing of God upon his life as a youth, because he was a king that was ordained by God to take Saul's place. And we all know the story about David and Saul, how Saul sought to kill David, but David would not fight back. He ran, he hid, because he dethroned Saul, and Saul did not want to give up his position as king, but David was his successor, and ultimately we know Saul fell on his sword. He committed suicide, and David reflected back, just like we have to reflect back when we're going through a difficult time, when we're facing a rainy, stormy day in our life. Think about all those other storms we done been through and that God brought us through. Think about when the doctor told you when nothing they can do for you and you're still here. Think about when you thought that it was over, but then all of a sudden, God's favor came. And here come people from everywhere blessing you on top of blessing you. And you got that testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture said that you will overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So I want to encourage each of you tonight that's tuning in to this Bible study. Your testimony is where your power is. Your testimony is where your encouragement is. You know what your testimony is. You know those storms, those trials, those tribulations that God done brought you through, you know them. You know when it seemed like the odds was against you and you didn't have no way out. And you know that it was God that made a way for you. That's your testimony. That's how you encourage yourself. That's how you encourage yourself. Because if he did it once, he'll do it again. But the fact of the matter is, you know he'll do it. And you know, one thing that encouraged David, he knew God was with him. Even though all the people were turning against him, even threatening to stone him, one thing David knew, he was also encouraged because he knew that God was with him. And that's why we say, if God be with you, who can be against you? And I just want to encourage you tonight that no matter what it looks like, God is with you. So be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord, knowing that God did not bring you this far to abandon you. He didn't bring you this far to forsake you, because he says, I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. That's what I hang my hat on. And that's what we have to do. We have to resort to the word of God. We have to resort to the scriptures when we're going through. Don't, like I said before, don't run. When you're facing a crisis, Don't run to the phone. Run to the throne. Cry out to God. Because God will change every situation that could ever come our way. God can uproot and make all the crooked ways straight. God could smooth out the road that we're traveling on. And he is everything. He is our protector. He is our all in all. That's him. And so you're not going to get close to God as you desire from a distance. You got to come closer. He said, if you come close to me, I'll come close to you. And that simply meaning the reward that you get from a strong prayer life, like the scripture says in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the things that God has in store for me or prepared for me. And so I just want to tell you, the reward is much greater than the sacrifice. You make the sacrifice to always be in prayer, always being prayerful. Your reward will be much more greater than that sacrifice that you had to make to go in your prayer closet and stay in communication with God, so that you can not only encourage yourself, so that you can encourage others. And that's how God gave me this assignment in the ministry. That's why we are a minister of encouragement. Because the times that I wanted to quit, God wouldn't let me quit. God wouldn't let me. He kept me encouraged. He kept me encouraged. He said, it's going to be all right. I'm going to get you through this. And he got me through so much until next thing I knew, I was an encourager. Because I know what he can do. I've seen his work. And so now I can tell others, be encouraged. Because God won't fail you. Because there's no failure in him. And now I tell you, I have my trials, I have my troubles. But at the end of the day, I'm an encourager. And I know in order for me to continue to encourage others, God has to keep encouraging me. And as I come before you at this Bible study tonight, I'm fully charged and I'm fully encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fully encouraged that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm here to tell you that God is not happy with America. God is not happy with this nation, these United States of America. I'm closing right now, but I got to go here. He's not happy with this nation because this nation and this generation has really angered God because of the things that they embrace and the things that they allow all around the world. We are the country where everything goes. And we're just not in a good place as a nation. And so that's why we need to cry out to God even the more for this nation, for our families, for our friends. All I know is this, is that when God created Adam and created Eve, he created them for each other. And God said the things that displeases him. And when God make a statement and he let you know what displeases him, and God let you know what he don't like, mm-hmm. and you do it anyway, and not only do you do it, you magnify it, and it's tolerated, it's embraced, that's not good place to be in.
No, it's not.
It's not a good place to be in.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to fall. That's why you got to pray that you can escape, because there will be consequences. We know sin brings consequences. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our salvation was a gift, but you know, God is watching. God is observing. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all of those that dwell therein.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not pleased with the United States of America because of our standards, our morality. We're bankrupt on morality. We're at a deficit when it comes down to morality. And all the things that dishonor God, we embrace as a nation. So who could change this than the saints of God? It is us.
Mm-hmm.
It is us. We're the only one who could change it. Final scripture, Psalms 145. You could read it at your leisure, but I'm going to read it for you right now. It says, "I will exhort thee, my God, O my King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and forever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty act. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous work. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." I'm going to stop right there. One generation shall praise thy work to another. This is our generation. This is our time. We're seeing it, everything is unfolding right before our eyes. We cannot afford to be spiritual blind. We got to not only be able to not be spiritual blind, but we got to have a spiritual consciousness.
Amen.
We got to have a spiritual consciousness. Mm-hmm. He said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. We got to adopt the mind of Christ. We got to walk in love. We got to be representatives of God. We are ambassadors. We are God representatives in the earth.
Jesus.
We are his people. Our lives is supposed to be representing God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the life we live. It's supposed to be a life that represents God. And like I said, when you know, you have no excuse.
Man. Mm-hmm.
When you know better, you're supposed to do better.
Yes, yes.
There's always room for improvement in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm doing tonight, I don't want to frighten you. I just want to just put you on alarm, just alert you through the Word of God. These are the Word of God. These are the times we're living in. No one can say that time's not going fast. No one can say that it's more crime, it's more corruption, it's more stuff going on in the earth than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Look at January 6th. Who could ever imagine a January 6th in a country like America, the strongest country on the planet, the most powerful country on the earth? Who could imagine an insurrection January 6th? But we ain't seen nothing yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the surface is just being scratched. We ain't seen nothing yet. God's going to make his point, and men going to get saved. Because at the end of the day, every knee gonna bow and every tongue
every
gonna confess.
Knee.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ, Lord
yeah.
to the glory
yeah.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm quoting right there.
Amen.
At the end of the day, that's God's plan, that every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You gonna bow now or you'll bow later? Thank God we're bowing now. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
We are bowing in advance. Because every knee gonna bow. Every knee. Every knee. Putin knee. The Dalai Lama knee. Muhammad knee. Every knee gonna bow.
Every
knee. Every knee.
Every
knee is gonna bow and cry out
amen.
To Jesus. Every knee. Amen. I'm closing out
amen.
Right here. Amen. I'm landing the plane right here. And I just pray and I hope that, hallelujah, that we continue to cry out to God. We continue to get serious with our relationship with God and just give God all of, give God all of you. God don't want weak.
Mm-hmm.
He wants complete custody, you know. He wants all of you. He wants all of us, you know, so that we can live a life that would attract others to him. And that's why he wants to bless you. That's why God wants to bless you. He wants his blessings to shower upon you because when people see you, they gonna know it's God. They're gonna say, "Hi, she looking brand new, he looking brand new. How he get all that? How he what's up? What's something going on?" Because you will capture the attention of all the lost people and you will cause them to pause. And that's all God trying to do. He's trying to get them to pause so they can pay attention to how he's blessing you. And your testimony is God did it. God did it.
Again.
God did it. And to God
again.
Be the glory. Say, it ain't me. Don't praise God. Hallelujah. God did it. I am who I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well,
hallelujah.
Thanks. My time is up. And I thank you for yours, and I pray that you go back and read over the scriptures, and I pray that you have received something here tonight to know that God's word has to come to pass. We got to watch
mm-hmm.
it. Pray. Keep praying, saints. Any closing remarks? Anyone with any comments? Any questions?
Well, I would like to say that I really enjoyed this lesson tonight. This is Tony Thacker down in Danville, Virginia. And I always try to get up in the morning and just ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? And I get up very early. I write my scriptures. And sometimes this morning, and you all really messed me up this morning. Because it was awesome. I'm telling you, I burnt the bacon. The water done boiled all out the eggs.
Lord,
and when I came through, I smelled bacon. And I went in there. I said, oh my goodness. But I'm telling you, I try to stay focused and I keep it moving. It's a lot going on in this world.
Yeah.
But I say God has control of it.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is pray. And I make sure my family see me or hear me praying. And
yeah.
I get on my knees and pray.
Amen.
And sometimes y'all have me laying in the floor and I'm supposed to be writing scripture. Now,
amen.
I'm telling you. And everything. And most of the time when I write scriptures, I write from 2 to 6 hours. And sometimes I write from 2 chapters to 4, and I have written 6 chapters in one day. I couldn't let it go. It just, like the spirit wouldn't let it go. And people said, do you get tired of writing? And I said, no, because I'm encouraged, I'm committed, and so I have to do what I have to do. It said, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
And so I'm just trying to be obedient. And I want you all to know that you all have really encouraged me. I'm telling you, on this prayer line and Bible study. And I want you all to know right now, I'm in Jeremiah 17, and I started in Genesis.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
I'm happy.
Amen.
I'm happy.
Amen.
And I just thank you.
I just got to piggyback on Sister Tony Thacker to say that God has used her tremendously to keep me encouraged. Never met her, but it seems like I've been knowing her all my life. With the encouraging words and cards that I received from Sister Thacker, I am telling you, it makes me want to run on. It fuels me spiritually because I can't encourage anyone without being first encouraged myself. And I thank God for you, Sister Tony Thacker. I got to make a open declaration here. I don't, you know, I'm just saying I got to speak
it. She encourages us both.
Yes, and she encouraged my wife and I in the ministry. She keep both of us going. Hallelujah. I mean, consistently.
To God be the glory. This is all I can say. To God be the glory.
We know, my wife and I know, you were God sent to us because your encouraging words in those cards and
tears to our eyes.
And it brings tears to our eyes. It brings, we are encouraged. We say, whoa, we can't quit. We got to run on no matter what it looks like. And so God is pleased with your encouragement toward us. So may God continue to bless you real good. Hallelujah. And all that you
thank
put your
you.
Is there anyone else with any closing remarks?
Well, it's just so ironic that you said that we have to run on because I've turned here to Hebrews 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the first verse says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so doeth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And talking about encouragement, and that just came in my spirit, and it encouraged me to know that, you know, our weapons are not carnal. You know, it's spiritual. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in warfare. This is war against the enemy. Just to keep your sanity. You know, people come at you all sorts of ways, especially when they know that you're a Christian. They come at you sideways, you know, but you have to just humble yourself, you know, and just let God have it. Just give it to him and keep your peace and your patience.
Amen. Thank you for those words. Exodus 15:15 says, if you hold your peace, God will fight your battle.
Fight your battle.
Hold your peace. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and swift to hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God got you. God got us. Anyone else with any closing remark? Anyone else before we pray out? Go ahead.
I have a question. Right.
Okay.
But this question may lead into a conversation. And if it does, I'm open to whenever you want to talk about this because I really. Okay.
Okay.
How do we ever really know that we're not, we're, how do we live a sin-free life? Like, really?
You're breaking up a little bit, LaToya.
I said, how do we live a sin-free life? Like, I pray, and I have so many testimonies. I know and I see that God is who he is because of everything that happens in life. So I also know sinful things.
Well,
and I
can answer that right away. If you're on this earth, you're not going to live a sin-free life.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen.
Nope.
That didn't happen back with none of the old prophets. No, nobody. Only one person came to this earth with a sin-free life. His name was Jesus.
That is Jesus.
He was God manifested. There's no human being that can live a sin-free life.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes our thoughts can be sinful.
Yeah, but you got to understand, you're bounded with two spirits residing in your flesh. The scripture says, mm-hmm. in your flesh lies no good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the flesh wars against the spirit. Now, your spirit man is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your natural man, your mm-hmm. carnal man. It's that flesh that always causes us to stumble, to fall, and to get us in trouble. But your spirit, and you have a part of you that is perfect and sin-free. Because you know the Bible says that God dwells in us. So if God dwells in us, then he's a perfect God, and he resides in us. So the good that comes out of us is the goodness of God.
Yes.
And the bad that comes out of us is the flesh.
Mm.
And see, so we're fighting this battle. We're fighting this battle. And I can give you the scriptures to help you out. You can go over to Romans, the 7th chapter, the last few verses of that book, when Paul says, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. And then so verse 8:1 of Romans says, now therefore there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. In other words, you're perfect in the spirit, but your flesh is always going to be there to cause you to trip and to cause you to repent, to cause you to get back in alignment with God. But God knows that. So you have a way out. If you confess your sins and acknowledge your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, Sister LaToya, it ain't going to happen if you're in the flesh. You can't, be sin. I hope that helped you.
Yes.
I can only correct you with the word of God. See, because everything has to be scriptural. Because that question people need to know. And all your questions, I welcome them. But the answer is in the word of God. The scripture says that everything that's pertaining to life and godliness is in the word of God. Everything. There's nothing omitted that we need to get us through this relationship with God that is not written. And so don't you be held hostage thinking that you keep messing up, you keep messing up. The scripture says that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but each time he falls, he get back up again. Sin will make you fall. Sin will knock you down. But you just keep getting up. You keep getting up because, you see, God have your heart. And that's why the Bible say flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, because your flesh is sinful. Your flesh ain't going to heaven. You got a perfect spirit. But you got a corrupt body.
It's like I got flesh demons, and I want them to go away.
Well, the flesh demons will go away when you dominate and bring them into subjection to the power of the Holy Spirit. The scripture said that if you resist the devil, he'll flee. He says, I have given you power. Listen. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You see, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We're snared by the words of our mouth. So as a man thinketh, so is he. So you got to be talking victory. You got to be talking, hey, I can do this. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to flee. I bind you up and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You know what is of God and you know what is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you take a stance. I was told when I was very young in the faith, you got to get mad at the devil. You got to get mad. You got to get mad and fight him back. But you can't fight him back with flesh. You fight him back with the spirit.
Spirit.
See, the weapons of your warfare is not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of stronghold, the casting down of imagination, and bringing every negative thought into captivity. And that's 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10:13. There's no temptation such as is common to man that will come and overtake you, but God, without God causing a way to escape, God will always give you a way out of this, the temptation, Sister LaToya. He will always give you a way out. You're doing good. You're doing good because you have a desire to do good. You keep that desire. That's all that matters. You keep the desire to live right and do good. God will handle the rest. Gotta do the rest. You do your part. Everybody got a part. You know, you do your part, God will do the rest. Hallelujah. Just give him something to work with. Hallelujah. You give God something to work with. Give him your desire. He see your heart. He know you trying. He just like, you know, I mean, I know this is an extension of our Bible study. David did everything he did. He had people killed. He did a lot. But then God had his heart. And God said, David is a man after my own heart. And if God could say that David is a man after his own heart, after all the things that he went through and he did as a representing God, certainly God has our heart. And certainly he will bring us through whatever it is that we're going through. No one gets off scot-free. We're all going through something. We're all fighting a battle. And there's a song out. You can Google it tonight, and you'll hear you. And it's, this is how I fight my battle. It's called Surrounded, you know?
Who sings it, Pastor?
This is how I fight my battle. Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that helped you, Sister LaToya.
Okay,
because somebody else might have needed to hear it as well, but didn't ask the question. You can't, you're not going to be perfect in the flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven because it's corrupted. You're going to get a new body. Hey, when Jesus comes, you're going to be transformed. You're going to get a brand new body.
So when we go with Jesus, Pastor, are we going into eternal life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the gift. That's the gift.
I was going to go into another body, and that's what eternal life means.
Well, I tell you what, this is what you do. Read Romans, the 15th chapter.
Okay.
Read the 15th chapter of Romans, and it will tell you, it will, you know, because I don't want to get into another Bible study. But First Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm so sorry. First Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Take your time, read that chapter, and it will tell you everything about the celestial body, your spiritual body. It will tell you all that is going to unfold and how it's going to unfold. You know, I don't want to start teaching all over again, you know, so. But I'm giving you the word. So it's 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and you can go down to, you can start, just read the whole chapter.
I will.
And you're going to smile at the end. You can start at verse 35 for clarity. Verse 35 is 35 through 58. Read
okay.
that. Read that. And your answer will be in the scriptures, because that's all I can give you, the answers of the scripture. All I know is what is written.
You give good jewels, Pastor, and I appreciate the jewels that you give.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, thanks to God. If anyone don't have any other closing remarks, questions tonight, we're going to close out here, and whoever feel led to lead us in prayer. If there is no more comments.
Hey, man, this is Brother Sully. I came in a few minutes late, but I rode all the way home with you guys. Great Bible study. I really appreciate it. Really, really informative, some good words. I'll hold my comments the next time. But I'll go ahead and close this out.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Holy Spirit, we just thank you, Lord. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you all praise, Lord. We thank you for the word that has come forward tonight from your good shepherd, Pastor Freeman, Father God, and we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word and the truth that was spoken tonight, Father God. And Lord, where your word say to help us to trust and rejoice in you always, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for this filling us tonight with wisdom and revelation and knowledge, Lord. We thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we continue on with our night, Father God, may we have a blessed night, and may everyone have a good night rest, Lord. And I pray that everyone will enjoy the rest of their work week and just stay grounded and rooted in the word of God. So, Lord, we give you all, once again, we give you all honor, all glory, and all respect and love. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thankful Thursdays. Let's prepare our hearts in the morning for all the prayer liners. Thankful Thursday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bring your thanks to God. Hallelujah.